Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, listener. Before we start, we just want to let you know that this episode contains references to suicide and has some strong language.
I travel around the UK with a pop-up nail salon and I just got distracted because I saw you look at your nails. You've got nice nails.
I was thinking, like, what am I not wearing right now?
You have nice nails as well. I've got
one. Hello, everyone.
Hello. We're going to do this GBA as if I haven't just been, like, crying to you for 35 minutes before we started recording.
Oh, happy days.
It's become, like, a running joke that, like, whoever the director of my life is playing, that, like, all of my, like, mental health woes happen on a Friday. So it's like on Instagram I'm like singing, dancing, jazz hands, and then in my personal life it's turmoil.
That's so funny. For me it's a Monday. It's always Mondays for me.
That's classic.
Everything kicks in. But yeah, that must be hard, having to, like, show up on Instagram and be jazzy.
You it's don't show feel business, like baby.
It. Okay, well, I won't ask how you are because
we know it's
not great. This is a very exciting week, though, for us. We had our live show, which you will be able to listen to in full on Thursday. And it was absolutely epic. I can't believe it. I can't believe it worked. I can't believe it happened. I can't believe we didn't get heckled or booed, but we didn't. It was, I won't say seamless. I don't think it was seamless, but it worked. Like Dave said, it just worked.
Yeah, Dave's review was my favourite review. He doesn't know why, but it just sort of works. It was so good. It was, but honestly, doesn't it feel like a dream? Like, maybe because, well, I don't
know.
I don't even know. It just feels like so surreal. It was so cool. How terrifying. Yeah. Before we went on, we went into the room to go and see how big the venue was, which was a very big mistake.
Very,
very big
mistake.
I think we were feeling all right until we did that.
I don't know. I don't think I was feeling that all right.
No, I didn't think I was. And every time I said I wasn't feeling okay, Alex was like, stop it, why? So what do you mean, why? Like, every time I'd be like, oh, I'm nervous, you'd be like, are you, why?
I mean, for context, the last live show that we did was 70 people, 80 people, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one was 400 people. So it was a pretty big jump. And
it was a big leap.
It was a big leap, and it was like last time we were like all huddled in a bar and everyone was like really close together, and it was just like a really small,
drinking,
intimate venue.
And it was Christmas and people are a lot more forgiving at Christmas time.
Right. And this was a big venue with like individual uniform seats. Don't know why that scared me, but it did.
I agree. Yeah. They're like stormtroopers. Like,
yes.
Like just, yeah, seat troopers.
Intimidating.
Very.
Like the higgledy-piggledy like seats and stools of last time just seemed more welcoming and
I agree.
Humble. I don't know. I don't know. The moment we got on stage, I was like, okay, now I feel okay. It's fine. Yeah, like, we can do this.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But then, so last time we did it, you had really bad anxiety the next day and you were like, everybody hates us. This is a disaster. I'm quitting. I was like, oh, good.
Yes.
And this, it didn't happen to me on Wednesday, but I think that's why I am so anxious. I've just been telling you for like It's been like therapy, to be honest. For like 35 minutes, I'm so anxious, and I think it's because we had such a high, and I just think when you're this full of hormones and little sleep, you shouldn't go that high because for every action there is an equal and something reaction.
Okay, I don't know that phrase, but I like it.
There is an equal. For every action, there is an equal and something reaction. Anyway, there's that.
To go up,
right?
You must come down.
Fine. So as high as you go, you know that you're going to be matched at some point. And I think I went too high. I'm like Icarus. I flew too close to the sun and my wings got burned. So I was fine on Wednesday because I think I was just so delirious still. And I was on like absolutely like no sleep because we were having a sleep regret. We're having a sleep regression. And yeah, but then the last like Thursday and Friday, I've been like, woof. Like, woof. Not only does everybody hate me, but I hate me. Like, it's been bleak.
I mean, I get it. I don't get it because I had it without
this. Equal and opposite reaction.
Equal and opposite. I've never heard that.
For every action, there'll be an equal and opposite reaction.
I like that.
Yeah, so the action of the very happy day on the stage, I have to match my own, like, adrenaline and endorphins, but right at the other end.
I'm actually reading a book about this, which is really interesting. Well, more specifically, like dopamine, but then like if you get too much dopamine and too much pleasure, then your balance tips to pain. Like it just has to restore
this,
balance.
Because I think my way of existing now is I don't do things that give me the extreme highs anymore. Like I used to, and that used to be like binge drinking because that's the British culture. But like, you know, you do like things like that. And I think I'd be quite like manic in the things that I would do to get happiness because I was so highly strung because I was so anxious. And then running was actually a really big part of it, but going on my silly little walks and all of it, like I leveled out. Binman always comes down the street when I'm doing this anyway. But yeah, so like I kind of exist at a more consistent level. And somehow, even whilst having a baby, it's been relatively consistent. The highs and like, but then, when I go too high or too low, then there'll be the other side. Yeah, then there'll be something on the other side.
Humans are so annoying. Why can't we just live in ecstasy all the time? Like, I want a euphoric life.
Drugs will help.
Drugs.
I can't comment medium to long term effectively.
I don't think it would be great.
But for like the bank holiday, I could suggest an LSD or like
I could have a euphoric bank holiday. Yeah, that's a good point.
But you just got to prepare yourself for a very
euphoric. I like that.
We'll make that. Tuesday would be very euphoric.
Yes.
Very, very bad. Like I get my joy, like the things that make me really happy in a day generally are like my silly little lattes, my little olive sticks. I just love my little olive stick. Like looking at the pond, like the weather, like these boring little things make me happy, which is good because then it means it's only like boring little things that make me occasionally sad. Do you know what I mean? It makes my life sound so small. But
I think that's a really nice way to live. I don't know, I've been learning about these three like different emotional systems. And like connection is where like the soothing hormones and like that gives the like the low level of contentment that is what is like actual happiness.
Maybe we're going to have to end the no new friend rule permanently. Maybe you need loads of new connections.
Well, that's the thing. Like everything I'm reading is like you've got to have connection. And like I've kind of built my life around no connection.
Like as little connection as possible, please.
I've isolated myself and now I have to backtrack on that. Is that what you're telling me?
100%. Although having said that, like I might like the mundane life, but that is not what's in the cards for us because our other good is that we floated the idea of a live tour.
Imagine the come down from a tour.
I know, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
It would be really cool.
I have climbed the top of these mountains and I have liked the view. So if that means a catastrophic crash and burn when I get home, so be it.
See, you've had a taste of the drug now and
that's it.
And now we're going to just strive to get more of this drug. Okay,
love it. I felt the applause. I can still hear it echoing in my ears.
I can still feel the lights on me. That was definitely one of our goods. But yeah, we're going on tour. We're going to take it on tour. Details are undecided as of yet, but stay tuned and please come.
My bad is just that for the first time in a very long time, I'm just feeling really anxious. And I just, jokes aside, I think it is because we had the high. And I just think you just can't fuck with a new mother like that. I think you've got to keep shit consistent.
Yeah. With your lack of sleep, it's just too much.
It's just a lot. And I've just got a lot going on just like with just my life. Like, I mean, I know that's just what being an adult is. It's so annoying. Weirdly, it's not Arlo that overwhelms me at all. I feel completely... That bit is the one bit that I feel completely right about and sure of. Just everything else. Everything else I can't handle.
It's gone to shit. We need a few good night's sleep for you.
I don't need the sleep. I'd just like to have nothing to do for a few days.
Can you do that this weekend?
No, not really. But it's okay. Yeah, I think I have come back to work face first. And that's okay. And I need to. I don't get maternity leave. And it's great. Like, and I love my job. And I can bring my baby to work. And again, it's not like the hardest job in the world. Like, look, we get to do so much amazing stuff together. But I'd be lying if it said it wasn't, if it said it was easy all the time. It's just a lot.
It's just a lot.
Like, you know, you're a full-time mum, but then the job was full-time before and I'm kind of doing it at the same level. So, but I think that's just life. I think that's just motherhood. I think that's what they say, isn't it? You just spend your life trying to find the balance. So.
And also it's intense at the moment because you're breastfeeding. You know, things will ease up in that respect. You know, at some point, Arlo will go to nursery and... You know, you'll have a lot more time on your hands.
Yeah. And just everything is fine. Like, I'm totally fine. And I'm still so happy.
Yes, but you're also more than allowed to complain. Like, it's very difficult. It's hard. And it's exhausting. Like, you are definitely allowed to complain.
By Monday, you're alive. I've forgotten all of those. Yeah. And so is Arlo. And we're both.
Yeah.
She's... I don't know. I'm fine. She's very happy.
She's very happy.
Yeah, she's very healthy. And, I was going to say healthy and wealthy, but I don't know what she's got in terms of like liquid funds right now. I don't know. I can't comment as to her wealth, but...
but she's got her health and her health is her wealth.
Have you got anything bad?
No, I don't actually. No.
Brilliant.
No,
I don't. Anything awkward?
Sorry.
So I'm really happy for you.
I ate so much on that day, on the live show day. I ate so much and I did realise this before. I think anxiety and stress makes people go one of two ways with food. You either don't eat at all or you eat a lot. And I felt sick the next day. All it was just so sick because I'd just eaten so much. I didn't stop eating that whole day. It was just like every time anyone looked at me, I was putting something in my mouth.
Yeah, that's because you heard that... And we talk about this in the live show, but someone told you that you couldn't feel stressed and eat at the same time.
I think someone told me that to make me feel better because they just kept looking at me.
It's not true. There's no way it's true. My awkward is also food related. I was walking down the street today. I have my protein shake for breakfast because that's what I do because I'm trying to get my nutrients in.
You're allowed a protein shake.
Thank you so much. So I was having a protein
shake.
And I had it. And then I left the house quickly and I was walking down the road and I was like, oh, what's that on my moustache? And then it was like, oh, it's a bit of my protein shake. So I was like, oh, I better clear that up. So I did a big, like, with my tongue, like all the way around the top. And I like licked my top lip. And as I was doing it, I realised I was stuck in a stare. And there was a woman on the other end of that stare. And I was just licking my lips. Big,
that's aggressive.
All the way that's around.
Really aggressive.
Sinister. Incredibly sinister.
So sinister.
Just staring at her, licking my lips. I was like, well, this is horrifying.
Eye contact is not the one. It's like when you're eating an ice cream, you know, like a Twister or something, and you just can't make eye contact with someone. I don't know. It's kind of the same thing.
Anything to eat a Twister. They need to make vegan Twisters.
Is it not vegan?
I have never started a change.org or like a GoFundMe or a, or something to take to Parliament. But I feel like this might be the hill that I have to climb.
What's not vegan in it? Is it the white bit of the ice? Is it?
Yeah,
oh, it's because that's ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh my God, surely they do vegan Twisters.
Al, if they did, I'd be all over it because I would do anything for a Twister.
No, I really want a Twister.
No, they're not. They're not.
Oh, they're not.
No. Wait, what? I am going to Sainsbury's immediately.
Yes, Little Jude's fruit twists are basically twisters and they're vegan.
Twisters, no. Twisters don't contain dairy.
Get yourself out immediately. It's such a nice day as well.
We have to end this. I have to go. Right. All of that bad, we can edit out. Nothing is bad anymore. I am fucking fine. I am cured. Anxiety is gone. I have climbed back up from the fiery pits of hell, and I am back exactly where I should be, getting extremely happy about tiny, tiny little things.
That's all.
Normality is restored.
That's all you needed. That's amazing. Amazing, honestly.
Wow, it's a roller coaster. Life is a roller coaster. You just gotta ride it. Oh my god, what a day! We have got an amazing guest today. This is episode that we have wanted to do for so long. Truth be told, like, I do feel a little bit of trepidation about sharing it because the issue has become so contentious now, and it's so difficult to have this conversation in this. I find the whole atmosphere so toxic at the moment. Yeah. And I think this was such a wonderful and valuable conversation. And I'm so excited that we get to share it and that we got to have it. And I just love Charlie so much. I think she's so amazing.
And I would like encourage anyone, no matter what their, you know, opinion thus far might be on the subject of trans issues, like, I would just encourage everyone to really just listen to it and be open to it, because I think it was a great perspective and a very meaningful conversation.
And something as well, I think, we talk about it in the episode, but about the climate right now and how the news agenda talks about transgender people and transgender issues and everything that's happening in America. And I think, you know, we're seeing so much clickbait, so much antagonism, so much distraction. Like, we're just seeing such a huge noise around this. To talk about all of it in one place, so eloquent. I mean, Charlie speaks so eloquently. It was just really valuable. So we're really proud of it, and we really hope that you enjoy it.
Yep. Without any further ado, here is Charlie Cracks.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey.
We were promised the full Charlie Craggs experience.
Of course,
everybody. And she's here to deliver.
Always.
I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm so excited to be. Are you serious? I'm so excited to be here. I'm flattered to be asked.
I'm such a little creep. I DM'd you. I actually realised this. Like, I DM'd you like a couple of times. They're like, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? And I was like, she didn't see them.
No.
I hope you haven't seen them.
I'm actually so happy you've said this though, because the amount of people, especially like other influencers, who'll be like, you never apply to me. I'm like, I don't apply to anyone. I don't apply to my mum. Like, literally. Anyone listening to this, is this on camera? Yeah,
I
just don't apply to anyone. I'm sad. It's called PTSD, okay?
So you can't be mad at me for it.
I literally, I'm just a mess. But thank you for having me.
Oh my god, thank you for coming.
No, I'm so flattered. Thank you so much.
There's so much I want to talk to you about. And actually, the reason that we initially wanted to get you on was last year you were victim of an assault in London.
Oh, she's going
Yes, I am. I'm gonna
backtrack
it.
Tell me about the time you were
spat on. We're gonna touch on it and then we're gonna go back again.
Yeah, okay.
But this was when I was DMing you because you were so badass. Assaulters. You took them to court.
Yeah.
And you won.
No, I didn't. Oh, you've not seen the updated post. Podcast ever now. No, I thought it was going well. I was told it was going well, and then it was the opposite, and I actually got in more trouble than the boy who spat on me.
What?
I got a bigger telling off by the judge because I filmed it and he was underage, but I didn't know he's under. Obviously, if you're being attacked, the first thing you think is, let me film this so I have proof, because that person is going to deny it, which he did. So obviously, like, I either lose by not having proof, or I film it and get told off by a judge for filming a, do you know how old he was? He was 14. He was taller than me. There was two of them, much taller than me. You can see on video. So I assume they'd probably be like 17. Not that it makes a difference. I would have filmed them if they were 10. But he gets off scot-free. I get in trouble.
Even if you didn't get the physical assault on camera, the verbal assault.
Yeah. I had spit swabs done off my face. And then he admitted it as well. So he admitted it. The judge knew, and I still got in more trouble than him. I got such a telling off by this cunt.
Say it.
cunt of a judge who I hope is listening to this, and I've not talked about this publicly before. I did a little Instagram post just updating my followers. It was the most traumatic thing of probably of my whole life. It was, I wanted to die that day. Like, the day of the court case was the, and it was three days, but like the last one, the final ruling, it was harder than the attack itself. It's the hardest thing I've ever gone through. I literally wanted to like explode and die.
What world do we live in where you get more of a telling off for filming?
England, this is the UK.
A boy
where,
whose age you had no idea of.
Even if I had an idea, I just felt like the judge was a turf. She just gave me very much like energy. I got misgendered in court as well, as in like, I came into the court bear in mind, they've been talking about me all day in court. This it was a 3 day trial. So they know it's a trans hate crime. I come in, the first thing that someone says to me is, please sit down, sir. I'm like, are we sorry? And I literally, as soon as that happened, I knew it was going downhill from there. Yeah. I'm like, I literally said, are you serious? I'm here for my hate crime, and you're literally, I've come to this hard thing and you're calling me sir. Like, it's fine. Do you know what? I've turned into, we'll get it positive, because I turned into a positive. Yeah. Because from that, then I was angry. Like, after that, I was fucking pissed. Yeah. And I set up free self-defense classes for trans
you
women.
Did, yes.
So now I run Charlie's Angels, ding, which that. You can support if you want to. There's a link to the GoFundMe in my bio, because it's just been an ongoing thing where I can, because a lot of the money will be going towards paying for the cabs to get, because you won't come to the class if you're too scared to leave your house to go on the tube, but you're going to be spat on. So it's going to be obviously free, but it's also going to be, I'll pay for the cabs of the trans women come in, I'll be able to pay for a space which is not in a gym, where you got the gym bros will be laughing at us and the receptionist misgendering us on the way in. So like, it's good.
Were there any consequences for the boy?
No, he got like he has to go to a community centre like once a month just to check in and see how he's like, and it's like, it's all about him. And I literally told the people who called me up to announce, to let me know what, like the person who's going to be checking in on him, they were like, so maybe you could like come and speak to him and like help him understand, and like you could write a letter. He doesn't want to talk to you right now, but and I'm thinking, this is all centered around him. Literally, I have been spat on. Also, in the pandemic, it was like the peak after Christmas, when there was another peak. Remember, in 2020, it would have been the start of 2022, when there was a peak after Christmas. So I'm wearing a mask. This boy who's not wearing a mask on the tube spits on my face, like throws a can at me, calls me a shemale. Like, I'm then like having to write him a letter to help him understand. And he's like, I don't want to speak to you right now. Like, he just doesn't understand what he's done wrong, and he'll do it again. And I hope he does it again, and I hope he gets put in prison next time.
But that's the awful thing about that judge, then.
Disgusting.
Because it's just
disgusting.
Like, okay, well, I can do it, I can get away with it. It's obviously not that big a deal.
They've
and what
taught
messages
him that,
to send to other
it's disgusting.
Young boys? Who,
and also, where did he learn that?
I just hope the fact that his face was like plastered on the internet.
Yeah, I can picture him.
Has caused some
4
humiliation
million views now,
for him.
People know, like, we found him before the police even did, because that's how viral it went. Like, I was telling the police, I know who it is, and they're like, we've got to do our own investigation. They found him a month later, the fucking useless. Mm. But like, it's got like a nice end, because like I said, I've taken my power back. But like, it was even like, maybe you should take the video down. Like, imagine that was your brother, like, da da da. And I'm like, are you serious? He has spat on my face and been like discriminatory. It's not even just like, it was like a hate crime as well. Like, and you're like telling me to have some compassion for him.
But I did a campaign with TfL about how they are standing with the British Transport Police against hate crimes on the underground. Like, it's put your money where your mouth is.
If it was my brother,
if it was my brother, I hope that someone would put him on Instagram. Maybe he'd learn a lesson as well. Yeah. And then he went around gloating as well. Like, I had people, because it went so viral, sending me screenshots being like young teenagers being like, hey, like, I go to the same school as him, and he's a shitbag. And he sent me a screenshot of his Snapchat being like, I made this girl famous. I spat on her face. Da 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 da. Like, he's proud of what he did. But that makes me happy as well, because he'll do it again. Like, even if I didn't get any justice, I logged it. It's on his record now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, the next time he does that to someone, because apparently he just does go around on the tube, because I had other people saying I've seen him at this stop before harassing people. Right. He'll do it again like an idiot, and he'll be in prison, and I look forward to that day. I'll come visit you, baby.
Yeah, oh my God. You said before about how you get angry, and like, you did put the video up, and that's one of my favourite things about following you, is you do not give a fuck. Like, we could never. Like, when I get shit from someone, I hide their name and I put it up and I still get like, oh, maybe you should consider their point of view. Charlie's like, no, let's fucking go. And it's like, profile picture, name, tag
them. Oh, baby, mum. I'll find your mum. And I messaged a boy's mum recently. Like, why are you giving them that grace? Giving you the grace.
I'm afraid.
Got the background to say that publicly on your page, like if someone comments something publicly, everyone can see it anyway. Everyone can see their name and profile picture anyway. You said it. Stand by it.
I love it so much.
Yeah, you are.
Alex
right.
Has looked at me like, you're like,
I don't need to
be less nice.
We are
more
pleasing.
It's because you've got more followers than me as well. I think you're held to a higher account.
I'm not being nice. I don't put their names up because part of me thinks that they want this attention.
You actually got a good point.
The conflict, and they want people messaging them saying shit. And they will never, in my eyes, they probably will never learn from people then mess. I don't know.
I'm not trying to make them learn. No. What I'm trying to make them learn is don't fuck with me.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
fuck with
yeah.
trans people. Don't yeah. fuck with queer people. Like, I just want to give them a bite so that they think twice before. Like,
yeah, good on you.
And be like, why don't you educate them? And I'm like, fuck off. You educate them if you want to educate them. But like, if someone calls me a shemale or like, I don't know, like you're a predator. I get called a predator literally every day on Instagram. Like paedophile, predator, groomer.
The irony is so huge that you're having people come into your space and accuse you of being predatory.
Yeah.
Like, literal definition is like stalking someone into their space, which is
very weird. But this is why they need to be named and shamed.
And,
they won't do it to me again. They won't do it to me again. I did that one with the boy where, like, he called me a groomer and then I messaged his mum. I found his mum through his, like, Finsta, you know, his fake Insta.
Yeah.
And I saw that she was, like, a dentist and I went to her page and then I found her email through the page and I messaged her and he got grounded. He got in trouble.
Did he?
Little push boy, mummy bites his North Face and he's a big man.
But that does feel like a really unfair responsibility that you have from your followers, people that like you and respect you, that they're telling you then that you have to educate other people.
Only some people, like, literally, like, the 1%. Most of my followers are really on board with it, and that's why I'm not followed for it, because I'm messy. But, like, it will be sometimes just one person, and it's usually someone who's not even from, like, your community in the way that if it's, like, LGBT phobia, it'll be like somebody's not LGBT and I'm like, you have, or like, obviously, like if it was a racial thing for a white person to a black person, like, why don't you educate them rather than this? Like, you don't understand. I go through this every day, whether it's racism like that or with me, it'll be the LGBT phobia. And it's like, they're not coming here calling me a predator to be educated, but also I don't owe anyone anything. I do a lot of education. Literally, I've been educating people for 10 years in my campaign, Nail Transphobia, but I don't owe anyone that. That's my choice.
What you do? Can you explain Nail Transphobia to
me? I can't explain Nail Transphobia.
I won't.
Do you know what I haven't done in so long, so I forget my elevator pitch, but basically I started about 10 years ago and then like the pandemic hit and it's on hiatus, but I'm going to bring it back soon because I feel like it's really needed right now. But basically,
you've all got shit nails. So.
I've got shit nails, literally. But I travel around the UK with a pop-up nail salon, and I just got distracted because I saw you look at your nails. You've got nice nails.
I was thinking, like, what am I not like right now?
You have nice nails as well. I've got the worst nails. But I travel around the UK with a pop-up nail salon and offer the public free manicures for the chance to have a chat with a trans person, just in a bid to kind of give people a chance to meet a trans person. Because most people haven't yet. Everyone's kind of got an opinion on us at the moment. It's like the hot like kind of culture war, and like everyone's being kind of forced to have an opinion. Like the media want everyone to be like thinking and talking about it as a distraction technique. So it's just gives people a chance to meet us and see that we're not going to eat your children. And I haven't at Arlo today.
Yeah, you haven't eaten it.
Yet.
I can confirm. As of now, she is still in one piece, no bite marks.
No, well,
not a one.
Thank God veggie bread is next door because then I get a little hungry.
Have you seen that meme? It's like, next time someone hands you a baby, just say no thanks, I'm a vegetarian.
I like that.
I know, it's so good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That is really amazing. That's very kind of you, like nice of you.
I agree, which is why it pisses me even more when people are like, you should educate them. I'm like, yeah. I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go buy my book if you want to be educated. Like sometimes yeah. like talk shit get hit. Like if you're coming to a space looking to be rude, you're not, like I said, they're not looking to be educated. And I think that's why yeah. I've made it my thing of like once a year I'll post like a reminder to my followers being like, hey guys, I'm so, so grateful you're here. Like so, so grateful. But also like these are the house rules. Like, don't come for me, ever. Just unfollow. Yeah. You don't have to like me, you don't have to agree with me, but don't tell me.
No.
Because I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, you can unfollow. You don't have to follow me, you don't owe me that. But guess what? I also don't owe you, you know, an education or a, like, yeah.
I guess something that you touched on, and I've actually heard you talk about in interviews before, which is so interesting, is the fact that right now everybody is being forced to have an opinion on trans issues.
Yeah.
Even people who really don't have a clue, who it doesn't
everyone,
bother.
Everyone, like, literally. And that's most people who, like, just don't have a clue. And
no.
Yeah, they're being asked, what's your opinion on this? And it's like, oh, my God, does everyone have to have an opinion on something yeah. they're not educated on? Like,
yeah. And it's you'll hear it. I've heard it, this conversation, actually, so many times this summer. It's like, well, what about the Olympics? And what about... And I'm like, it is so irrelevant to your life. Have you ever given a shit about the rules of the Olympics before now? No!
Such
no.
a good point. But also, how many... Olympic level athletes are we talking about? I think it's like three
literally
or two
three.
Or something. It's like, are you serious that so much conversation in the media is warranted for something about three people in the
yeah.
world? And the fucking woman came like eighth, you know, the weightlifter woman. Like, it's like, what the hell are we talking about? Like, if, I don't know, it's just mad. It's just so like, and that's all the proof you need that it is a distraction technique
yeah.
because it's such like a minute issue that was never an issue in the past. Like, nothing's changed since, like, we've been here the whole time. You've never been threatened by us, ever. We've always been using the toilets with you. And then all of a sudden, 5 years ago, it's like, what if trans women rape us in the bathroom? It's like, well, we've never, and we never will. But, like, also, like, where is this coming from that you need to write literally an article a day? Like, the Times did, what, 200 and, I think it's 235 or 34 articles in a year during 2020, during the pandemic, when there's, like, people dying, and we're in, like, the fucking, the fifth worst, the country where all the people were dying. You know, the UK was awful, and, like, also going through the heat of Black Lives Matter. We're doing, the Boris is breaking the rules, you know, and yet, you're writing 235, that's almost like one a day.
Mm.
Like about trans people.
About 1%.
All negative.
Of the population.
All negative. Not yeah. a single one by a trans person. You can look up the stats yourself. That's all the proof you
they
need.
They didn't have a single trans
person. Not
writer.
A single trans person. And all negative. It's all like.
Really?
It's like I saw one by like fucking Jacqueline Wilson. I'm like, what does. And she's literally says in the article, like, I'd like, don't. She doesn't understand. She's like, I don't really understand it. And like, and I'm like, so why have they asked her? Like, it's like asking me about, like, what do you think about, like, race, or even abortion, like somebody can't have an abortion. What do you think of abortion, Charlie? Let me give you a massive platform in the Times to talk about abortion and make the public agree with you. And it's like, Jacqueline Wilson has no clue about trans people. She's literally saying, like, I don't think kids should be having their cocks lobbed off. And I'm like, first of all, kids aren't having their cocks lobbed off. Like, also, the cock is not lobbed
anyway.
Off as well. Like, it's just, and it's like, then, like, the public reading be like, yeah, kids shouldn't have their cocks lobbed off. And it's like, you literally have to be, like, 18 to have surgery. You can get married. You can join the army. You can, I don't know, drink, gamble, do drugs. Well, you can't do drugs. But you know what I mean? Like, you can do all these other things that is, like, not, like, that's an adult, but, like, you're trying to kill yourself because you're trans, then you can't lob your cock off. Like, it's like, it's infantilizing yeah. us, and like, it's making it like about children. You wouldn't call anyone else at 18 a child. Like, you just wouldn't. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah. I'd like to ask, I can imagine, but I'd like to ask your, the thing that I struggle, like, continue to not be able to get my head around is why there is so much debate on this from people who like trans rights does not affect them.
Yeah.
Trans issues do not affect them at all. Like, it's people who are unaffected by it. It doesn't touch their daily lives. Why do you think that it's often these people that have such a strong opinion and are so forceful and so vocal in this area of trans issues and trans rights? Like, why?
I think it's because they don't have enough real problems, period, and they need to like cling to something to be like, we literally are a theoretical problem, especially here, like, let's just talk UK at least anyway right now, because I'm not educated on the whole world, but like, but that's such a badly worded sentence. I went to a very bad school in Hounslow, guys. But what, I might not be like educated like academically, like, or politically, whatever the fucking in the know all, but I know right and wrong. And I also just know, like, you've never had a case here of like a trans woman in a bathroom doing anything. Like I said,
there's never been a case of that.
No, we've always been. And like, if there ever was
about once a week,
if there was a case, I feel like at this point it wouldn't even surprise me if it was a plant or something. It's just like, I'm like, it scares me because I'm like, you know, these people are fucking unhinged. Like, they're like, their whole Twitter feed and their whole life is literally like Graham Liner. He's like, he's the right Father Ted or something. He's like obsessed. He lost his wife. His wife left him because she was like, he's obsessed about like trans, just anti-trans, but it's like encompassed his whole life and his whole Twitter feed. He's read about me. Like, his wife left him specifically because of that. Like, it's unhinged. Oh my God. It's like a rabbit hole though. You know, with like people getting radicalized in other kind of, you get the men with Andrew Tate lot, and then like some religions can become radicalized. Like, and then it's that with this thing with like, you fall down the hole of this like type of like turfy feminism. Well, the word radical is in turf, and it is very much like you become radicalized, and it's like, we've never been your enemy. It's also so weird as a trans person, like, to see this shift happen in real time. Like, I came out, I like transitioned 10 years ago. I didn't even know what the word turf was because it just wasn't a part of our cultural conversation. Nothing has changed in those 10 years in how like trans people are like interacting with the public. We've, like I said, there's not been a case of anything that's made us like a threat to you or anything. Why is 10 years ago, I didn't even know what the word turf is. Now I get like shit every day online from, and not just online, it comes into real life as well. Like, when I'm in the street, I used to be more scared of like men. Now I'm much more, not scared of my physical safety from women, but I'm always getting comments or looks, or you just feel like you're sitting opposite someone on tube and you're like, do you hate me? Like, you just think like, why do you hate me? I've never done anything wrong to you. Like, and you're my sister. Like, I would die for you. Like, I would, like, I just, it's, as someone especially like, especially trans women who, like, a lot of us were, like, gay boys before we transitioned, quotation marks. Like, obviously, I always felt like a girl. I was, like, 4 when I was telling my mum I was a girl. So I've very much always been a girl inside. But out to the outside world, I was, like, a little gay boy. Everyone around me who, like, supported me and who, obviously, I supported back is all women. The women have... Girls and women have always been my safe space. Like, I don't... This... I just don't understand. It's so hurtful to, like... Yeah, it's just... It's really hurt. I feel like I'm going to cry, but it's just... I, like... I don't even think about it because sometimes it just is, like... Yeah, it's just, it's really hard. That's really hard.
Mm.
Feeling like, why do you hate me? I've never done anything wrong to you. Like...
Yeah, it's such a good point in that you have been attacked, I mean, so recently by men, but children, boys, like, physically, and you're scared for your physical self. But the fact that these women are the ones that are kind of hurting the movement, or not the movement, but hurting the community.
Man can smell my face and it hurts it's disgusting, but like, it's much scarier to have someone like writing, do you want men in your bathroom in the Telegraph or the Times or somewhere like that, or the Guardian even recently.
But if a man was going to come into the bathroom,
oh my god,
a man would come, like, why would you transition?
You don't have to transition. Do you know how long it takes to transition? Do you know how expensive tits are? Like, do you really think it's also like, if we're going to do the toilet things, like, this is what I always say. This is really clever. Is that, if you're going to ban trans... Also, there's so many layers to this, because I also think, side note, like, you're not saying, like, make a trans toilet or make a gender-neutral toilet separate. It's like, no, put trans women in the men's toilet. We want you in the men's toilet. It's like, why do you so badly want me to be raped and murdered or beaten up? Like, because that's what's going to happen. Like, what's going to happen if I go into a toilet with a load of lads? What do you think is going to happen? Like, with these big juicy tits. Like, but like, also, no, but like, really, like, they're not saying that. But then my point, what I was going to say, this is a really good point, is that if you're going to ban me from like women's toilets because you think I'm a sexual threat, why are we not then like, first of all, I don't even like girls. Like, why are you then, I mean, I'm pan, like, I'm a pan because I'm like 21st century, but like, I've never been with a girl. I don't like girls. Like, why are we then not banning gay men from men's toilets? Why are we not banning the lesbians, the TERFs, who a lot of them are lesbians? Maybe you're projecting a little bit, because, like, why are we then, like, being like, you are actually sexually attracted to the women you're in a bathroom with? Boop, I'm not. So, like, no, but you think, just yeah. like, what the fuck is going on with this mental gymnastics of, like, let's ban trans women because you're a sexual threat. Bitch, I don't want to touch you. Yeah. Like, and also, if I am going to touch someone and you put me in the men's toilets, it will be your husband's. I promise you now, I've said it on my Instagram. If they make, because it's like, currently being consulted, like, there's a consultation in government about, like, you know, when they're doing the stuff with also the Equality Act with how we define sex and gender and stuff. If all of a sudden trans women are put into men's toilets, I will literally make it a campaign like Now Transphobia to be like, ladies, suck off as many men as you can. What I said is I'll give a card. Like, if women can prove they're like an ally, I will have like a card that you then give your husband for his wallet that he can show and be like, okay, you're I won't suck it. You off.
Like a little white but, flag.
Yeah, yeah. Like a little trans flag. Yeah. Because why would anyone with a fucking brain want to put a trans woman in a hot trans woman next to the urinal with your husband? No,
it's such a lack
you
of...
idiot. Yeah. Just make a trans toilet. Just if you want to, just make a gender neutral toilet on top of, you have women's, men's. I'm happy to, I didn't even go toilet in public, just to be honest. I very rarely go because I'm scared. Literally, I'm like just scared that someone is... No, but it's always been that way. Even before I knew what TERFs were, I always never felt welcome. And it's just funny that like all my trans friends were the same, and yet we're the ones being made to feel like we're the ones making people unwelcome.
The fact that you, when you apply logic to that argument, that it breaks down, again, just...
So sorry.
Sad baby. she's sad about toilets.
Hi.
She's hungry.
Probably. Just needy.
We don't mind a few baby noises on the podcast.
Okay, sorry, listeners, we have a baby now. It's my baby. We haven't just found a baby.
Interruption for a baba.
I've got so many questions. I've got so much to talk to you about. And I don't want you to have to speak on behalf of like baby, all these issues.
I will speak on behalf. Like, I've got a lot to say. Like honestly, I feel really lucky to be on this with you guys because like obviously the listenership, the viewership, you know, a lot of the people we need to be speaking to who are just like being dragged into this quotation marks debate, who just need a bit of sense. Like it, like I remember what you were saying just before. It's just like it's so like out of proportion. It's like why are we all talking about toilets? Like especially when, like I said, nothing has happened. Yeah. Nothing new has happened. Like why? It makes no sense. Like I said, we've been using the toilet with you the whole time. I read my friend. Everyone's read it. Sean Facebooked the transgender issue, which is so good, which just gives you a bit of context on everything going on. And it really marks a point. And I'm like, that is so true. Like, for a long time, for the whole time, actually, until the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, for the whole time in history, trans people have always been, like, a joke. As in, like, we've always been, like, in a sitcom, we'd always be the people laughed at.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to have gone from being, like, laughed at have been people all of a sudden be like scared of you. Now people are acting like, oh my god, protect your children. Yeah, like, oh my god, our bathrooms.
I mean, protect
and it's like...
your children from, think about it, the pantomime has always got the dame.
Are you calling me a dame?
I would never, but I do think it's interesting that we take our children to go and watch this like comedic like thing of a but then we're not protecting the men, that's Christmas. But then the rest of the year, it's mad.
It's just unwarranted as well, like, because it's like, it's not even like it stemmed from like there was a cultural issue of this happening. Like, look, there's a massive, which I would understand then, but like if there was a massive issue of like this keeps happening and like it's happening all, it's like a cultural issue. Like, then I'd understand, but it's just, it's mad. Going back to that man, whatever his name is, Beardy Man, I think his like name's like Mike or something, Phelps or Mike Phillips, or you just think, why do you care? Like, you're not even in the women's bathroom. It gives me, like, I wouldn't be surprised if something weird comes out about him, because it's almost like a deflection. Like, have you done something a bit weird? Because, like, why is this straight man... so obsessed about like women's spaces, and I'm like, I bet he's not even like a feminist. I bet I'd love to know where he stands on other issues. Like, same with Graham Liner. I'm like, when has Graham Liner never cared about women?
And
like,
this
old dusty white man, like, when has he ever cared about women's issues until trans women came along?
She's a legacy.
Can we hear about your journey?
Gender journey,
your evolution.
So we found out we actually grew up in the same area. So we're West London girls.
I've been here, there, and everywhere. But you're from
on the toilet walls, yeah.
So you're from Ladbroke Grove?
Yeah, born and bred Ladbroke Grove. Yeah. Grew up on a council estate. I feel like that needs to be mentioned because it definitely does bring a different light to, like, you know, where, like, growing up in a council estate as, like, a queer person. You will never meet a queer person who had a good time growing up. Well, gay, trans, whatever. Mm. It was hard, but I wouldn't have changed it for the world. It's as in, like, the hardness also prepared me for what I'm going through now, as in, like, I get called a paedophile groomer all day every day on Instagram. Doesn't bother me in the slightest, because I was getting called that at 7. I was getting called a girl and a batty boy at 7. The funny thing is, go back to my estate now, the boys were calling me a girl back there when I was a boy aren't calling me a girl anymore, they're calling me a boy now. It's funny, they're just never going to be happy, are they? But I was like, I am. I took your advice. So I was like about 4 when I was telling my mum I was a girl, I felt like a girl, which I think as well, like, to anyone listening who is like reading these kind of articles that we're talking about and like not sure about things and trying to make an opinion, it's like, I think the fact that I was like 3 or 4, and this is like most trans people at that age, that's like, I think it's that age usually, because that's when you start being like policed on your gender. Like, you go to school, you have to wear boys' uniform, a girl's uniform, play the boys' toys, a girl's toys, because you'll be policed by your peers, boys' toilets, girls' toilets. It's very much like the gender, when you leave the home, the safety of your home, and you're going to the world, which is gendered. And I was telling my mum I was a girl then, and like, I didn't even have really a sense of memory of that. Like, my mum remembers it, but I don't, which I think shows how pure it is, because it's not like, obviously you're 3 or 4 anyway, it's not conscious, but like, as in, I can't even remember it. That just shows how like innate it was, that I was like, it just shows how natural being trans is. And like, being trans is natural. Like, intersex people, for example, like, which is kind of like the trans kind of vibe, is like, people who are, you know, not male nor female, we're just a part of science. Like, there's more people who are intersex naturally than ginger. And wow. Like, yeah, that we're just that. It's the same in the animal kingdom. Like, you look in the animal kingdom, they're just like, it's just science. Like, it's just a natural part of like science, having like variations of like things and stuff. And trans people, you know, have always been here. When you look in every ancient culture, there's like documentation of third spirited people. There's like the Hijras in kind of in Asia, or in India. There's like two-spirit people in like a Native American culture. They're in every culture, even you look back at like Egyptian culture, like there's always been existence of like people in between the male and the female. And like, so it's really like, going back to what I was saying as well, it's just so interesting to look at how like this is just blown up in like 2020 or whatever year, 2020, 2017 kind of time. It kind of all like shit hit the fan about like trans people being a threat, but like, you'd never, like, we'd always been around and we'd always been using the toilets with you.
And I think that's the thing that I think people don't realise, do they, is that trans people have always been around. This is not, like, a new thing.
People,
like,
literally, oh my God, I had the funniest comment of my life on my Instagram the other day, and it was a girl. And it was like, she's probably like 16, bless her. She commented on one of the things. She goes, oh, I just don't see why, like, all you LGBT people have to make such a big thing about it. It's like, it's just like some new thing that came about 3 years ago and you just haven't stopped talking about it. It's like, it's like this like little like 14-year-old is like, things just like that we've like been talking about.
Like low-rise jeans.
We've been talking about in the last 3 years. We didn't exist before then. Like, happy third birthday to the LGBT community. Like, literally, she literally was like, why have you made this a thing 3 years ago? Like, it's bless her soul. But
so funny.
But is that?
It's like that statistics that I can't, I'm not going to be able to recall it because I can't, I'm shit at statistics. Same. So I'm going to butcher it. But it's a statistic that loads of TERFs use, right? And transphobic people. And they talk about how the incidence of kids asking for transitioning has like gone up by 1,400 or something like that percent in the last however long. And I think, since the 1980s, that's it.
Yeah. And then, when no one was coming out as trans. Right. Because
and when you dig down, like, they use this stat.
So it's
like
basically just 1,400 kids have come out. It's gone up 1,400%, whereas it's like 1,400 kids have done it. But it's because they finally have a word for it and feel safe to.
Right.
I was, like I said, that age, I was 4. I didn't know what trans was. My mum didn't know what trans was. Mm. We were like in the 90s in Ladbroke Grove on a council estate. Like, there, we didn't have that vocabulary. My mum just thought I was going to be gay and she was fine with that. And like, she didn't, like, I have 2 brothers, both like straight, manly boys. One's a gym boy, one's a bad boy. Both, no, one's single.
I want to meet the bad boy. Yeah. Just to see what merited one. Him. But, I'm not.
He's not bad anymore. Hey, Ashley. But like, we were all raised the same. My mum didn't, like, buy me special girly thing, you know, like it was not like, my point is that it wasn't like, not this is ridiculous, I should have to say this, but it wasn't like encouraged, you know, like, it was just like, we were raised the same, this is who I am. Like, you know, like, I just have, the kids now have a word for it. They can turn on TV and see people like them. And also, why is that such a bad thing? Like,
I know.
Why, like, it'd be the same, like, we want to apply this to gay. Like, kids have a, like, they're not ashamed to come out earlier, like, these days. Why is that bad? Why do you hate gay people so much? Why do you hate trans people so much? What the fuck is wrong with a child coming out as trans? If they're trans, good for them. They won't have to go through the wrong puberty like I did.
Yeah.
Well, they probably will, because it take, the fucking NHS is dire and you wait literally like 10 years for appointment for the trans clinic. But if they're lucky and were to get on like a hormone blocker, which just pauses puberty until they can make the decision at an older age, they won't have a deep voice like me. They won't have big, broad shoulders like me. They won't have an Adam. They won't be getting spat on the tube, because hopefully they'll be able to have an easier life and just get to blend in, you know?
Because they didn't go through puberty.
Yeah. And then we won't even have the debate around bloody sport, because then we've not got people who, like, you know, it just fixes everything.
Yeah. I read something that you'd written in an article, and it was about how the statistics showed that the pill had more adverse effects than hormone blockers.
Well, everyone knows that. I'm like, sure, you both, as I'm not
assuming. I think you'd be surprised by how few people know that. And if you consider the fact that I was put on the pill at 15 by a doctor who literally didn't even look at me, just wrote it.
All my friends. I got friends who were put on it at 13. And it's got, like, that's, like, hormones. Literally, trans women, if we can't get onto hormones, we take the pill, because it's got, it's, like, got the hormones in it sort of thing. Mm. But, like, the pill is known to be, like, it fucks you up. I've got a friend who almost died from being on the pill. Like, it just really, the mental as well, and, like, but you'll chuck girls on that at 13, you know? Even if, like, girls are underdeveloped, they chuck them on it, or they're too developed. And yet, there's no talk about that. And the long-term effects that has on women and girls. But you'll be like, oh, we couldn't possibly give a person of the same age at 15, 13, whatever, a hormone blocker, which, like I said, all it does is pauses puberty until they're old enough to decide if they're still trans. Then they will still be trans. And, like, the TERFs love to bring up, oh, detransitioners. It's literally like, you can watch my documentary, BBC Three's Transitioning Teens, because I can't remember the exact stat, but it's something like 1% of the public around that are trans, something like that. I think it's a bit less. And then 0.1% of the public are detransitioners. So, like, 1% of the 1% or something like that. You know, it's like, not, it's
so
literally
like five people.
A handful. Yeah. When I tell you, it's like, it's not even noteworthy. And most people who detransition, when it's like logged, when they like have to log it, it won't be that like they realize they weren't trans. Some very, very few people will be like that. Most of it is like, I couldn't hack being trans.
Yeah.
It was so hard. Yeah. My family didn't accept me, or I couldn't find love. I couldn't find a job. It's not, who would fucking want to be trans? Who in their right mind would want to be trans? No one. It's shit. So, like, it just annoys me that, like, and I met a detransitioner in my documentary and sat down with them, which was actually really scary, because, like, we've been pitted against each other. But we both realised, actually, like, we want the same thing. Like, because if you think about it, I'm saying we need more kind of, my documentary was about how the NHS is failing us, because, and obviously I love the NHS, my mum worked for the NHS, but, and it's not the NHS's fault, it's people who give the funding to the NHS, but, like, it's like I said, it's like a 7-year wait, like, for to get an appointment with a gender clinic specialist. So, like, you go to the GP and say, hey, I'm, like, suicidal, which is what I did, and then I waited about 2.5 years, but that was 10 years ago. Now it's gone up to, like, 5-ish years. You're not going to see a hormone until, like I said, like, 7 years or something. Definitely no surgery for a long time, but, I'm saying we need more medical intervention for, this is just ridiculous that we're waiting this long. We need more medical intervention. And then the TERFs are saying, like, no, just stop all medical intervention for, like, young teenagers. And the detransitioner who was very young, they were in their first year at uni and they started transitioning as a teenager. They were like, no, I agree with you. We need more intervention to catch the people who there's very few, like I said, but for the people who are actually going to end up detransitioning because they've realised they're not trans, they're not going to realise about by the stuff. They need more counselling, they need more help. Having an appointment, being given one appointment every fucking 5 years, you're not going to get any help from that. Like, if this young person, they were saying, if I had more medical intervention, I would have realised sooner that I wasn't. And, like, we're both saying we want the same thing, and then you've got the fucking TERFs and, like, piping in, they need to wind their neck in saying, like, oh, we need to stop all medical intervention. But trans people and then people who are detransitioning are both saying the exact opposite. Why did they, this person who's not trans, not got a trans kid, not got any, like, kind of, like, any, doesn't even have a trans friend, get to pipe in a bit on Twitter, be like, I don't think we should even have gender clinics for teenagers, like, when literally trans people and the people who have realised they're not trans, like detransitioners, are both saying, actually, we need the opposite. We need more intervention to help the 99% of trans people who actually are trans, who are suicidal and waiting, but also to catch the 1% who just needed that bit of medical support to realise they're not. Maybe they're non-binary. Maybe they're just a butch lesbian. Maybe they're an effeminate gay guy. Why the fuck are we going to just take all support away? It's like with anything, like, not supporting it, it's not going to make it stop. It's just going to mean we have to do it in riskier ways, like black market hormones, just with, like, abortion. If you stop abortion, it's not going to stop abortions. No. Just stop safe abortions. Mm. It's the same here.
Yeah. And interesting that those women would absolutely lose their minds if men started commenting on abortion issues, because it's
no
not
one should have
right.
an opinion other than people who are going through it. I would never ever chime in on. Obviously, I'm pro-abortion. I'm if you need to get an abortion, you get pro-choice. That's the word, not pro-abortion. But
woo, like, abortion,
abortion. Hey, our little girl. But my point being, like, I would never, like, I'd be like, it's not my place to say. Like, why the fuck am I be given? Like, if I was like offered like a Jacqueline Wilson spread, I mean, why am I being asked? Give it to. Let's talk to someone. Like, it's ridiculous, you know. And it should be the same for any issue. Like, if you're not affected by it, you probably shouldn't have a say in it. Like, you know, like the trained professionals, the doctors, they've been doing this for a long time. They know what they're doing and they're all on our side, so yeah maybe you should think about that. Yeah, anyone with a brain is.
Yeah So back to you, you knew at four, or you did, your mum.
I was saying I want to be a girl at four, but I didn't know I was trans at four, because like I said, I didn't even know what trans person was. My mum didn't.
Yeah,
interestingly, if you go on my Instagram at Charlie_Craigs, you can see I did like a self-portrait I did when I was four, and it was me as a girl. I had long hair. I didn't have long hair in real life, so I don't know why I drew myself long hair.
But it's manifesting.
This is me manifesting. Tranifesting. I drew myself with a skirt and with a long hair, and it wasn't until I was in secondary school. I'm not going to say dates because people will work out my age, but we're
she's
all about
45.
The same. Wow! True. But,
no, I'm kidding.
I realised I was trans when I saw Nadia on Big Brother, because it was the first. I'd never even heard the word trans, and I just saw Nadia, and I was like, and I remember, like, she's the one who won Big Brother in, like, 2005 or 6, and, like, just, like, having a word for it finally and seeing someone like me, and that's exactly how I felt inside. And obviously I just hit puberty at that time, so like my body's changing in ways I really didn't like, and I found my diary from that time, and I was like, it's so funny as well, because like I was so obviously trans, but I just didn't, I didn't know what it was like, and like there just was no talking about trans stuff. And like looking back at my diary, it's like I was writing in like code because I was scared some of my family would find it. And it was like, oh my God, I've had to start shaving. I'm so embarrassed. I hope my mum and dad don't find out. What sort of teenage boy thinks like that? Mm. Please tell me, teenage boys will grow that bum fluff out until like it fucking falls off. Like they are so proud when they have to start shaving their face. And yet I was like hiding my razor in my room and then like writing in my diary, oh, I hope my mum doesn't find out that I'm shaving my face now. Kids, you know yourself. Gay people know when they're like, you just know. In the same way you know you weren't trans, I knew I was trans. In the same way you know you like boys, or if you like girls, you just know. And it's not for anyone who doesn't understand that to chime in and be like, well, how do you know? And what if you change your mind? It's like, fuck off. Worry about your own kids. Why are you fucking, why is Mike Phillips, whatever his name is, his name's probably not even Mike Phillips. Why is he fucking getting to chime into millions of people and like make them think a certain way? And like, it's just like, you've got actual kids. Maybe spend less time on YouTube, your little man baby, and go and look after actual kids. So like, yeah, I just,
you knew.
You just knew. You always
were. Oh yeah, go back to me, yeah. So I knew, I finally had a word for it when I was about 11, 12. But it wasn't another 10 years until I actually accepted myself. Because even though I knew it then, I was so suicidal, because like I hated myself, if I'm honest. Like I really like just didn't want to live, because I was like in an all boys school, living on an estate, which was very manly, you know, like that sort of place with two brothers, and like just like getting bullied really badly for being effeminate. And like you internalize that, like especially when you're young, like you hate yourself and you're like, why am I normal? I don't want to be this. Why am I gay, trans, whatever I was? Like, I was just like, I just want to be like my brothers. I'm so sick of like being bullied by literally everyone around me that like I didn't want to be it. And I was like, and I didn't, the only person we had was Nadia. After Nadia, try and name another famous trans person for another 10 years. We had Nadia in like 2005. 10 years later, we had Laverne Cox. Mm. That was 10 years. Yeah. 10 years prior to that, we had no one. I had one person in my whole life for like 20 years. To like be like, I'm like them. And then but then we finally started getting the girls in Drag Race coming out, and Laverne Cox. And that was like I said, 2015-ish, like 14, 15. And it wasn't until like around that time, like 2013, that I accepted myself. Because until then, I just hadn't seen, like the only time you would see trans people in the media would be on like Jerry Springer literally being beaten up on TV, and that's the man segments, which is very much what I'm trying to, you remember what I was saying earlier about we were just always the joke in sitcoms, like Chandler's dad, or like, you know, in Jerry Springer, in films, in like, we were just a joke. Trans people were just like, we weren't scared. Like, no one was scared of us.
No, if like male celebrities, like it would always be like their salacious sex stories if they'd had sex with someone
raunchy
transgender.
Romp with, sex swap op, like, you know, swap. Like.
That is such a sun headline.
It's such a, like a news of the world.
And wasn't it Chandler's dad? In Friends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Were they scared of Chandler's dad? No. Like, it wasn't...
No, not
we
all,
were a joke.
No.
We
it was
were,
part of the
any
joke.
Any sitcom you watch, like, I'm trying to... Or even films like that Jim Carrey one, the pet detective one, like, he, like, vomits when he finds out she's trans. Like, we weren't... No one was scared of us. No one thought we were, like, rapists. So it's so interesting to be like, so you've been laughing at us our whole life and beating us up on Jerry Springer and That's the Man segments. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, we're so scared of you. Leave us alone. You're the ones beating us up. How dare you flip it? Like, literally.
And this would be a statistic that I will butcher, but trans people are the most vulnerable.
The most vulnerable subset. I mean, also, like, I think that's really hard to quantify because obviously, like, there's so few of us. So, like, obviously, the amount of abuse, but also we're such a visible identity. But also, like, then you bring intersecting identity into, like, if you're a black trans person, imagine how that is. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I don't think it's about, like, trying to say we're the most. It's just about being like, if you're on a bus or a train or whatever, like, I came here on the tube today. If a trans person gets on, are you thinking they're going to attack you, or are you thinking, oh, I better watch out that no one attacks them? There's your answer.
Yeah.
You're not thinking, oh God, that big trans, but like, if I got on the tube, you wouldn't be like, oh God, she's going to attack me. You'd be thinking, when I see, like, for example, a gay couple come on holding hands, I always put my headphone off so I can hear if anyone fucking says anything, I'm going to pop off.
Yeah.
And it'd be the same if I see a trans person. I'm always like watching out for them, thinking if anyone fucking looks at them, laughs at them, like, you're not thinking they're going to attack them. So how dare you twist it and make it seem like we're the fucking predators when we're the prey. We are the ones you've been preying on. We're the absolute bottom of the social totem pole. Obviously, like I said, like, being a black trans woman, you're even more at the bottom, but like, we are the bottom. Yeah. We're the bottom, period. Yeah.
Like, I'm scared of men, you know?
We have the same experience with that in different ways, but like, but if a man sees you walking down the street, do you think he's gonna say, sorry, could I just check your chromosomes before I catcall you? I face that as well. Like, we're sisters, we're not like, and it's not a this or that. It's not, you either get to choose trans rights or women's rights. It's like, you do realise they can coexist, and they always have coexisted, and they can coexist. Like, we're not trying to take up your space. You're not trying to take up our space. Like,
anyone.
But the sad thing is we're talking about this now. There is so much talk about in the media, but it's such a small minority. Most women don't think like this. It really is. They got a very fucking loud voice because guess what? They're all fucking middle-class women with good jobs writing for the big newspapers. They're not fucking... You don't see many, like, black women talking about, like, turfism or, you know... It's literally always a certain type of woman who, you know, went to university, lives in a nice house that she owns, has a good job. It's like... Most women don't think like that. They're just very loud, and they're given the voice because, like I said, it's a distraction technique from how bad the government are doing, because the newspaper's all hands in hands with the government.
I think as well, like, you know, you said earlier, we are forced to have an opinion on this, and we live in a time where we are very scared to have the wrong opinion.
Yeah.
So that then breeds a culture where everybody's either much too scared to speak, usually just much too scared to speak, because it's like, well, I don't want to upset anybody.
Yeah.
But if you actually sit and do your introspection, you realise your point just there about, like, when someone gets on the train, are you more worried that you're going to be attacked, or that you would be attacked, that the trans person would be attacked? And I think, like, but nobody humanizes it like that, and nobody, young people aren't having an opportunity to have a conversation like with your nails. Like, young people, nobody is having their opportunity to have a human conversation because everybody's being so demonized.
It's desensitizing the public, it's dehumanizing us, it's making us like a theoretical, we are the gays of the 80s, the 90s, we are the black people of the 60s, we're the immigrants and the Muslims of the early 2000s. There's a culture war every now and then. We're just that. We're just the newest distraction technique. You think about the other previous ones, like with like the immigrants and stuff, and it's like, it's just so like, girl, like, what are we talking about? Like, the way we're talked about as trans people now is exactly the way that gay people were painted in tabloids and the press in the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s, where it's like, oh my God, they're trying to force it on our kids. They're trying to, like, it's an agenda, da, da, da. Like, you can literally just look at headlines from the 80s and 90s side by side with headlines today about trans people and be like, it's the exact same headline.
Yeah.
They've just changed the word gay for trans. And it's like that we're a threat to kids and women, that we're like paedophiles and we're sexually weird, and like that, what is the world coming to? You can't say anything. And you know, it's just like, oh my God, please, you just leave us alone. Can we just be in our corner by ourselves? We were fine. Yeah, just being on our own. I'd rather go back to just like football hooligans calling me a tranny in public again. I'd much rather just go back to that.
The annoying thing is that those people who are very vocal and very loud,
yeah,
and the people who debate the, you know, or try to invalidate the existence of trans people, the annoying thing is that they, like you said, they're the people that go to university and they are articulate and they appear intelligent.
Mm.
And I think that's as well a reason why a lot of people are jumping on this bandwagon.
Also being drawn into it, because if being you word it in a way, if you say, if a headline is like, do you want men in your bathroom with your women's bathroom? It's like, no. But it's like, trans women feel the same. We don't want men in our bathroom. Like, what? Like, it's just, it's worded very cleverly. And it'll be like, and it'll be very calmly. And like, you know, like J.K. Rowling, the way she writes, it's not like explosive, like, kill all trans people. It'll be like, what about the human? You're like, what about this? And it's very scary. The reason it's scary to me is because it's so clever. Like, it's just, it feels really overwhelming. If I'm honest, that's like, I'm like, I can't believe where we've got to. Like, you know, you've got someone who's respected and got a lot of like support and like speaking in a way that like, actually, like when you read it like that, you're like, actually, that's a really good point. But it's like, why us? Like, why are you starting on us? What the hell? What have we done to you?
She was also one of the people that cited that statistic, you know, that it's gone up 400, 1,000.
Yeah, but also, why do you think we could do that with gay people? We could do that with anything. We could do that with left... the best one, I got you one, listen to this. With left-handed people, as soon as left-handed was, like, allowed, you know, before they were like, you can't write with your left hand. As soon as kids were allowed to write their left hand, left-handedness went up by, like, I don't know the stat, but it's by, like, a ridiculous amount.
As a left-sided person who writes with my right hand, I would have loved the chance to be left-handed.
To be a witch and write with your left hand.
Yes, exactly. To be burned at the stake and sunk.
This is what I don't get. Right, so that statistic, we can tell, like, straight away, the moment you, like, scratch the surface of that statistic, you can see it doesn't make any sense.
It's just going to become more and more, like, just, like, generally LGBT phobic, because it creeps in, because if you're thinking, like, you look in places like, even America right now with the anti-trans laws, but, like, I think the best one to look at is... Hungary, where like they were very like anti-trans in the way that it is here, and there's like law, it was cited as a media thing, then it went to government, then there's laws being made, and now it's trickling down into gay rights. Gays said nothing because it's like, oh, that's you, like, you know, and then all of a sudden they're stripping back gay rights now, and it's like, if you don't think this is a trickle-down effect of like, they come for the T, then they're going to come for the next chain of the LGBT, you know, and they'll break us off one by one. And like, you know, you can see it with like, I've seen TERFs like going crazy about like, you know, we've seen, there's like even here in the UK right now, there's like, it feels like every week there's a protest outside this drag show in Honor Oak, where like they're like, they're trying to like, and it's like, it's coming for drag, guess what? Drag queens are usually gay men, then they're gonna come for the gay men, I promise you now. It's dangerous.
Yeah. If we're forced to have an opinion on it, which the media is making us, then with that in mind, we need to make sure we have a formed opinion on it.
Yeah.
And I think just taking tidbits,
it's hard because like having a Times article you would think would be an informed. You read a Times article and you think you would be informed.
And then you end up in the algorithm, like you were saying before, with TikTok. Yeah. And it's like, if you end up in the wrong...
And if you're being fed that all day...
And it is manipulative because, like you say, a headline that's like, do you want men in the bar? You're like, well, no. And then it's like, and then you're pushed on an Olympic thing, and you're like, well, it's probably not fair. And then it's just like, but
why?
I don't care.
I don't care.
I've never given a shit about the Olympics in my life.
I think it's also very much indicative of a social media age, like where like something happens globally, and especially if you have a following, but even just for your friends and family, you feel like you have to post. You know when like there's when you change your profile picture to like
have a flag.
Like you feel like, and then if you don't, people are judging you because you did it. And then it's like, or if you don't post about something that's happened, like a relief thing or something where you got to raise money, it's like people are like, why didn't you share this? Why aren't you talking about this? And it's like, and even like I said, for just like people who haven't got followings, it's like that. Like, so like everyone's in this age being forced to have an opinion about everything because we've all got a phone in our hands with a platform that we're supposed to be like sharing that opinion. opinion on, and it's like, you know, you just can sometimes not have an opinion on things.
Yeah.
And just vibe.
Well, you are fucking great.
Thank you so much.
We've covered
this. I feel like this is
really
like a 2 hour special. This just feels like really long.
This
I haven't
does
looked
feel
at the
special,
clock.
Though.
But also, I feel like this was really important. I just want to say thank you because, like I said, the what we'll be tapping into with your audience and like the people who'll be listening to this who might be on the fence, who might be leaning one way because of the things, the rabbit holes they've been pulled into. Yeah. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for this platform. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being allies. Aww. Thank you for hopefully making some more allies. And just like, it's not even about allyship and big words like that. It's just about being a decent person. That's what I really want people to understand. It's just like, right is right and wrong is wrong. And you can feel it and you know it. And you don't have to do a MA in gender studies or read my book or anything to understand like trans issues. You just got to know, let's leave these people alone who are struggling as is. It's like hard enough being trans. And you can see that. Like I said, if you do the whole thing I said about like coming on a bus or a train, would you think we're going to attack you or do you feel sorry for us? Like, you know, we're not your enemy. We're actually the ones who you lot have been being mean to our whole lives. And like, just leave us alone and
it's
just like,
humanity.
Yeah, just have a bit of kindness. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And also, do you read your book?
Yes.
Live with Above. I mean, read my next one. I'm going to have a new one coming out.
Oh, read both your books. When's your new one coming out?
I haven't written it yet. So
okay.
I don't know.
Watch
this
space.
For
now,
we'll put your old book
thank
in the
you,
show
girls.
Notes.
And your Instagram.
And your Instagram handle.
And your BBC 3 documentary. If
thank
watch.
You.
And we love
can
you.
You
thank
my
you so much.
As well in, please.
Please
I need
put
a boyfriend.
My
bumble. We start the podcast with
thank you so much for listening. Should I Delete That? It's part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.